The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Minds. We got a little southern music going on today, just letting you know.
Yeah.
Plug yourself in and shut up. Today is
I can't get the plug to work.
Alrighty then. So today is November the 20th. I get my thing plugged in here too. Shut up.
Payback's you know what.
All right. My name is Mark Kent. I'm your host. Today is Sunday, November 20th, 2022. And we're brought to you by lots of different people. MountaintopMedia.com is a good place to go if you want to see all our podcasts.
We're supported by all the great patriots out there.
Luke Pearson Construction, Custom Homes and Excavating, 530-605-9575, licensed and bonded. Big shout out to Big O Tires over there, Jay and the gang. I'm here in the great city of Jefferson with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning. Okay. I'm having issues, and I'm watching people outside. Sorry. You know, you got to watch some of these things that go by or what's going on across the street or whatever, just to be safe.
Over here wrestling with
his He's having an issue with his little dog in his sweater. Oh, well. Right.
Turn mine down just a hair. It's up a little.
I don't even know what.
It's the yellow one. The yellow one. Yellow. Yeah, it's like, man, there we go. A little more. Look, not that much. Up. Keep going up. Stop it. Go. Right there. That's perfect. All right.
Are you sure?
A little more. Touch more. There we go. Can hear myself. Maybe.
Oh,
maybe
that's kind of scary.
More. It's kind of weird, you know. It's just kind of weird. It's what's so high is blasting my eardrums. A little more.
Jeez.
A little more. Right there. That's perfect. Okay. All right.
Are you sure?
Shit. Anyway, we have a fast-paced show, as usual.
We do.
Terry and Wynn were talking about the elections official here in town. You know,
I can't wait. Do we have to put official there?
Well, she's officially the official.
Kind of.
Officially. And although something's fishy on the official.
On the official, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, you know, it's just so weird these days. I mean, everything's so weird. You know, we're being told, oh, the economy's great. Oh, yeah, look, the stock market. Look. Nothing's wrong. All the businesses are roaring back. And no.
And don't question anything.
Don't question anything.
You know, don't do it.
So you got this, you know, they changed all the voting rules. They got ballot boxes instituted. You know, they got
mail-in ballots,
voting machines, dogs and cats living in sin. You know, I mean, and we're not supposed to say anything, or we're weaponized.
Yeah.
You're weaponized. You know, really? So you're not weaponizing the elections office, really, are you? The letter.
No, she wouldn't do that.
She's not, you know, trying to set up some kind of a thing so that we have to be investigated as terrorists because everybody's a terrorist that doesn't agree with what the government says does or implements on you.
Right. And if anything happens, it's going to be our fault. You know that. No matter who does it, you know.
What a piece of work.
And just in, before we get to our caller, Jimmy, we just found out in the lobby that she didn't send just three cards. There's at least four of these things that went out. Yeah, because my two are different than Terry's two. So, just saying.
But it's about money, you know. They're costing us a lot of money to have to, you know, give them information to know that we're being, you know, honest and fair in our elections. And it's costing a lot of money, you know, for us to have extra people and train them and observers. And it's costing us a lot of money. Oh, by the way, I'll take $42,000, on my salary as a bonus.
And not only that, I made a mistake and it's going to cost you guys $82,000, but you guys are costing us a lot of money.
Yeah, it's never they're costing a lot of money. It's never their, you know, if we looked at their bloated budget, how much does she make a year? I don't even know.
I don't know. Yeah. But, you know, in reference to her letter, she said something about $112,000 and that could pay for a fireman, a policeman, or whatever. What about your 82 grand there, Kevin?
What about the 42 that you're spiking? You're already bloated.
Yeah, so we got 82 and 42. That takes us over the amount of 112 that you're costing us, Kathy. Just saying.
Yeah, it's just insane.
But anyway, we've got Jimmy on the line. Good morning, Jimmy.
Good morning, folks.
Hey, I can hardly hear you.
How about
that's
now?
Better.
That's better. Can we turn off the lights
good
in
morning,
the studio
folks.
Here?
You know, like most people, most thank 9-to-5ers in Shasta County would love to even make $42,000.
You got that?
That's the medium. That's the medium income. Yeah. It's like 45 or 50 or something, whatever it is. And her, she gets a salary raise with that?
I know, I heard that. I had to call in to the show and go, did you just say 42,000 extra or 42,000?
Yeah.
No, 42 extra.
Extra.
So I thought I was having a flashback.
I guess they just forgot.
You might have been,
they just forgot.
But it is extra.
Just forget about that. Forget I ever said anything.
So a couple things I'd like to mull over with you guys, and I'll get off the phone. So I remember listening to one of the local shows, and they had Kathy Darling on, and they were talking about the Dominion machines.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, are they plugged into the Internet? Can they get hacked?
Of course,
you know,
not.
Like somebody in China or wherever, Uzbekistan, is going to, you know, just go in there and hack
something. Oh, you're doing you're doing that conspiracy theorist terrorist crap again. Cut it out, Jimmy.
No, that's what people are saying. I'm not saying that because what I'm saying is I'm pretty sure that the Dominion is already pre-programmed to turn the votes.
Well, it could. Who knows? But don't ask questions because these trust your government. You know, these are the same people that, you know, brought you, you know, all these other programs like, Pegasus and...
don't let the software coming out of China make you question anything.
Yeah,
Jimmy.
The guys that brought you Russian disinformation. Pay attention.
Right. I know that. I mean, they could go plug that machine into some warehouse back room and have somebody hack it, but I believe the complaints I've heard are that
it's flipping the votes right away. Yeah, I mean, that's what I've seen, too. Mm-hmm. I've heard both. I've heard, you know, DeKalb County, Georgia, it was just flipping the boats right away. They didn't have anything to do with the Internet. You know, they're pre-programmed. So if somebody walks in and programs it, you know, and they let somebody through, they put their little flash drive in, it pre-programs it, they pull the flash drive out, you don't have to be hooked up to the Internet. You just get to win the election. It kind of goes back to Stalin's thing of he who counts the votes.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm just saying it goes back to Stalin's theory of he who counts the votes.
Exactly, but I believe it's more pre-programmed than actual, you know, Internet hacking, which I'm not a computer guy by any means, trust me. Give me an A-track and a CB, I'm good.
But, well, that's why I was saying about the, you know, the software coming out of China. It's the software can already have it encoded in it, and it's downloaded into the machine.
That's what I think the case is more than direct Internet hacking.
You probably own a Walkman still. You should be investigated.
I wish I had one. Those things are worth big bucks now.
We just had Dave step in the studio.
The kid just walked in the building.
Ignore him.
Okay. So, I can't hear him anyway.
I know, he's not on his
mic. I'm going to get the show on the road so I can get off the air so you guys can go on.
Cool.
So the other thing I'd like to ask you folks about, which I'm really kind of wondering about, is, does Dominion give donations to people here in Shasta County?
Yes. Didn't we see that with Modi?
Actually, it was with Modi, yeah.
Yes.
Dominion gave Modi a campaign donation during the recall. The guy who owned Dominion or the head ever, he was a high-ranking officer, whatever it was.
There was association with Dominion, yeah.
Okay, well, that's not suspect, so I'm glad.
Neither is Sierra Forward, where all the Democrats donate to our local conservatives.
Right.
Gee, that's okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, and then, you know, Kathy Darling's letter about the guy from out of state that's controlling all the elections, really?
Oh.
I guess he missed all of those fundraisers and all those meetings and all those walking the precincts and all of those gathering of signatures. It was all because Dr. Evil, implemented his strategy on all. We're part of the Borg. That's the deal.
Hey, I wonder if anybody cashed in on Dominion Miles to get a free flight to Arizona.
To the train station.
There. They completely botched the election. You know, the voter machines aren't tallying anything. You have to go to the precinct. People said their votes were already counted, even though they hadn't voted yet. But there's nothing to see here. And Carrie Lake is just, she's just madcap.
Well, the scary thing about this is, too, is from what I can see, the legal cheating, and that's a weird thing to say, but...
How do you legally cheat?
I'm going to show you. I've got a clip.
Well, I know, but, you know, come on.
So here's the thing. In 2020, they ended up changing the way we vote. They ended up changing with all the mail-in votes.
Right.
They ended up changing and making it legal for a lot of these states.
Ballot harvesting is legal.
Yes.
Or ballot harvesting. And unless we set up and do the exact same thing as what they're doing...
It just so happens that I have a great clip that will show you that that's exactly what's going on.
Good.
Okay. And the red wave was not a big red wave on the national stage, but they forgot to talk about all the little local races, Red Wave. They forgot to talk about the fact that, let's just take a look at our county, for example. It looks like Kevin Cry is probably going to pull that out over Reznor.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like Chris Kellstrom won as well. So we've got now a pretty good board sitting there. And then it looks like there's a bunch of school board races.
Right.
And so this has been happening across the country. The red wave has been at the local level. But they just – and, by the way, we did take over the House with the – and the last people that were elected were from the state of California that turned it into a majority. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah.
Isn't that
interesting? It's interesting. Matt played something that Florida has three times the amount of people than Arizona, but they got their votes done by 9.
Yeah, yep. By 9. Yeah. Yeah. So it's all about the games. It's all about the playing of the games. But we're going to get into that. I have a clip here that you're just going
to
love.
But to your point about... I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jimmy.
One thing, and I'll get off the air and let you guys rock it. So the black markers they wanted us to use down at the polling station.
I didn't do it.
My wife and I, we brought our own pens.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, so we I've said no. We, and they really pushed those markers on us. We're like, no, we're going to use our pen.
No, I took it and said, hey, this will look great on the. I'll use this for permanent marker on my socks.
They didn't even ask me. I already had mine filled out.
Well, they said, well, you're going to have to wait 20 minutes for the ink to dry.
What?
Really?
Have you heard this one?
No.
No.
Oh, my gosh. What a quinky dinker. Yeah. They said, you're going to have. My wife went first. They said, you're going to have to wait 15, 20 minutes for the ink to dry. She's like, are you sure? No, here. Just. She's like, no, I'm okay. I got
it. You know what's interesting, Jimmy, is the other ones work just fine, and you don't have to wait at all.
And that's a different story than they told before.
Oh, so, what's that?
Go ahead.
So here's my quick point. I'll get off the air. So I can go into a 7-Eleven and fill out a lottery ticket with ink, shove it right in the machine, and it'll give me my numbers. But you can't put that in a Dominion machine.
Well, that's because you're. I'm sure that. What's your name and address again, Jimmy? Because I need to send that to the Homeland Security, because I think you're some sort of a malcontent.
You're supposed to just accept it and go on.
You've been weaponized by some guy in Connecticut.
Right. Yeah, I got you. Well, so anyways, yeah, I thought that ink thing was weird.
Never heard that one.
It is. It's totally
because
weird.
Because when she was on our show before, she said that there was no problem, that you didn't have to worry about it, that they didn't leave smudges or you didn't have to worry about them drying, that you could put them directly into the machine.
Well, what it is they lie about everything.
Folks, I promise you that happened. So
I have no doubt.
Yeah. All right, folks.
All right,
well,
thanks,
great
Jimmy.
Show. I'll post the silver and gold prices here.
Hey, there you go. Cool. Thanks. Okay,
and
so.
To your point, I was going to say, I was reading the Epoch Times or however you want to say that they're showing a lot of the communities across the United States at the local level took back a lot of commissions, school boards.
There was a red wave, but it was more at the local levels.
And, of course, mainstream media skips over that.
It's harder to cheat at the local levels.
Well, and also the big thing on it is I think they knew that they had set it up this way. So, for instance, you had Chuck that was caught on a hot mic saying, oh, it's going to be a disaster. It's going to be...
Well, they set this whole thing up as a red wave. Sure, absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah, because then if you think it's going to be a red wave, you're more likely to stay home or not vote.
Well, it's that, and then it's also... If you look at the way they're playing it as though it was some type of victory and how Biden is going to continue doing exactly what he's doing because...
All you have to do is ask yourself one question. Did we take back the House?
Yes.
Yeah. Are we better off this week than we were last week across the nation?
Yes.
Yeah, we are in a lot of ways.
No question. So let me get to this clip. Okay, let me get to this clip. Okay, have you heard of Dr. Steve Turley yet?
No.
Okay, this is a name that you probably need to know about. Dr. Steve Turley was born in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Not Idaho. Iowa.
Iowa.
Okay, he is the author of 18 books, including his most recent, I Refuse. He is a professor of public policy, political science at George Mason University, where he authored 4 more books. The Restructuring of the Global Order was being his latest. So this guy is not a schmo. I mean, he teaches at 2 universities in Canada and Turkey as well as Oxford. So this guy's not a dummy. Okay. And so I just want to set that up so it's not sounding like when he starts talking here, oh, it's just another pundit that doesn't know anything about, oh, nothing, yeah. But this is very important, and this is about ballot harvesting. And we need to understand this because the title of this video is Proven Ballot Harvesting Strategy That Will Crush the Dems in 2024. And so let's listen to this for a few minutes, and then we'll talk about it. Here we go.
We have a ballot harvesting strategy that will crush the Democrats in 2024.
Up.
The strategy is coming from Sean Steele, the Republican National Committeeman from California. He's a very savvy political tactician. His wife, Michelle Steele, just won her House race in California's 48th district. And she won largely through utilizing this ballot harvesting strategy, which effectively neutralized her Democrat opponent's early mail-in vote advantage. And she's not alone. Republicans control the House right now precisely because of all of these wins in California, where ballot harvesting is the legal norm. It was, in fact, Kevin Kiley, the winner of California's 3rd District, who put the GOP at 218 seats and in control of the House. So there's some magic going on here in California while our hopeless pundit class is trying to come up with some narrative that explains that success. The answer, as we're finding from Sean Steele, the reason for this success doesn't boil down to a narrative like, oh, Trump sucks, or abortion, abortion. Instead, the answer is strategy. It's employing a tactic that since 2018, the Democrats have tapped into their electoral success, but now the GOP in Southern California is beating them at their own game. Michelle Steele won her seat in a plus-5 Democrat district. It's a Northwest Orange County district. Biden carried it by 6 points. But Michelle Steele, utilizing this ballot harvesting tactic, won. So, what are they doing? Well, in California, as I'm sure you know, ballot harvesting is, of course, the legal norm. Ballot harvesting is the practice in which political operatives collect absentee ballots from voters' homes and drop them off at a polling place or election office. You may not know, but in California, you can come into the polls with as many ballots as you want that you could personally carry and drop them off, no questions asked. Now, obviously, we can bitch and moan all we want about that, or we can do what California Republicans are doing, and that's adapting their election strategies to beat the Democrats at their own game. The key here is that Republicans have been making conservative evangelical churches their absentee ballot centers. Drop boxes are being placed in the middle of churches throughout their districts. The parishioners are instructed on how to sign the ballot. Both the ballot and the envelope have to be signed for signature matching and verification. And the church elders, in turn, take the drop boxes directly to the register of voters. So the entire process is streamlined. There are clear instructions on how to fill out the ballot. And because it involves church staff and administration taking the ballots to the polling centers, there's a great deal of confidence among parishioners that their votes are being handled responsibly and are being counted, with a clear chain of custody protocol being followed. But drop boxes aren't just being put at the center of churches. We're talking gun shops. We're talking sporting and hunting shops. You know, it's any and all kinds of places where patriots hang out. And it's working. Again, what has to be reiterated here is that this is the second election in a row where California Republicans have cleaned the Democrats' clocks using this tactic. We have to remember that back in 2018, that was the first election, the last midterms before this year's midterms, that was the first election California Democrats used the strategy of ballot harvesting, and they clobbered the Republicans. They picked up a whole host of seats. And again, back then, the Republican establishment was doing exactly what they're doing now. They were whining about Trump. It's all Trump's fault. Trump. It's all Trump. Mean tweets. Mean tweets. These idiots actually think that elections are still won based on who runs. Hello, Festerman. But California Republicans didn't go there. They recognized that they got crushed not because of a person, but because of a plan. They realized it wasn't Trump, it was a tactic that beat them in the end. So they adapted. They began to employ the same strategies that Democrats use with their constituencies, but now with Republican constituencies, so as to maximize their vote. They put drop-off boxes in churches, gun shops, and the like, and lo and behold, look at what happened in 2020. Do you remember we came within just a handful of seats of winning back the House in 2020? Do you remember that? Well, just like last Tuesday, that's because a huge portion of those 2020 seat flips came from California. They flipped 4 seats in California alone back in 2020, and by big margins, too. And they're doing it again in this midterm election. Once again, in the second election in a row, It's California where we're seeing the most seats getting flipped from blue to red. One Republican strategist reported that back in 2020, Republicans used a drop box to collect over 12,000 ballots from one single church alone in Southern California. 12,000. This is the SoCal ballot harvesting strategy, and its potential as a national strategy for the GOP is enormous. And that's because we have to remember that evangelical voters, depending on how you define evangelical, but depending on the definition, evangelicals generally make up anywhere from a quarter to a third of the national vote, which is huge. White evangelicals make up the bulk of that percentage, and the AP VoteCast survey found that 81% of white evangelicals voted for Trump in 2020, and 80% voted for Trump in 2016. So we're talking about a huge voter base that with ballot harvesting can get even larger. Remember, one of the biggest disappointments in these last midterms is the failure of the rural vote to come out the way they came out in 2016-2020. J.D. Vance had a great piece talking about this in the American Conservative, and he noted that rural voters last week simply didn't come out in anywhere near the numbers that we needed them to in places like Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and Michigan and Arizona. And the reason is because in the end, there wasn't a get-out-the-vote effort to get them to the polls. And shame on us for that, because this has been the pattern, as Vance explained. This has been the historical pattern of rural voters for decades. Rural voters are not that engaged in politics.
Yeah, so I think we have to go to a break. Go ahead and stay on the line, Stones, and we'll come back here in a minute.
Right, and we will have a special guest in the studio after the break. So if you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
So we're back. Let's finish this off, and then we got about a minute and a half or so of this clip, and then we'll get to Rich. So stay on, Rich, and we'll get you right back in here quick. I want to finish this because I think this strategy is really valuable for everybody to understand and to start implementing in the next election. It's what turned over the House this year.
Okay? But according to our local elections office, that's what happened here.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying.
And
they said 20,000 ballots got put in that box on election day.
Yeah.
I'll do it. I'll vote harvest like a fiend, man.
Yeah, that's right. I'd be chilling like a villain.
Right. Hey, it's legal since 2016 in California. Let's do it.
Let's get it done. Yeah.
I got a trailer.
All right.
Yeah,
hey.
All right, so let's finish it out, and then we'll get to Rich. Here we go.
And when they tended to vote Democrat before 2016, that worked to our advantage. The neocon Rhino Republican Party used to love it when the rural vote stayed home, since they were predominantly Democrat. But now in the grand old Patriot Party, the new Trumpian Republican Party, they're now our voters. And unless Trump is holding tons of rallies in their counties like he did in 2016 and 2020, there is going to have to be an alternative get-out-the-vote campaign to get them to the polls. Or we put drop boxes in every single rural church. Because guess who is the most religious church-going demographic in the nation? Can you say rural populations? It's no coincidence that the 10 most religious states in the nation correspond almost exactly to what have been designated as the most redneck travel destinations throughout the country.
That would be us.
This is how we crush the Democrats in 2024. This is how we absolutely overwhelm their early mail-in vote advantage. We're not merely looking to offset their ballot harvesting advantage. We want to smash it. We want to decimate it. Now, obviously, there's more to it, as Maricopa County showed us, the shame to the world. We've got to find ways of being the ones counting the votes, so there's more at the administrative and precinct levels that we need to do, no question. But in terms of overwhelming the actual ballots, this SoCal strategy has worked two elections in a row for us. It's time to make it the model for all states that still use ballot harvesting, because it promises to be a real game changer in the election.
Well, there you have it. Yep. Before we get to our guests, let's go to Rich, and then we'll introduce our special guests that are here in the studio already.
Are you still there, Rich?
Yeah, I'm here. Hello.
Hello. You're on.
Thank you, guys. I'll go as quick as I can. excuse me. I remember I want to talk about some of the local school board wins, and I'll be generic. I know people, they don't like to hear a bunch of numbers on the radio, but you know, Author Gorman and I, again, on election day, the ballot in the machine, Author and I got 77% on election day That's what Arthur and I got for Shasta County Office of Education, Area 2. Now, the official numbers, of course, don't reflect that necessarily. Arthur's in the lead by 2,000-plus votes over a 16-year incumbent. What does that tell you? I finally bumped the 10-year incumbent, although I won't win a seat. But that's, you know, it is what it is. I have been offered, remember with the four election experts that looked into our June primary, I have been offered, hey, would you like my expert to look into your SCOE race in November? I said, yes, please. So I will be getting that report, and it'll be my humble opinion that my race was likely stolen from me. They don't want me to be an elected dog catcher. In Chatham County, let alone a SCOE board.
You know, even if it wasn't stolen, Rich, it would be nice to know that it wasn't stolen and that was the actual vote count. You know, all these shenanigans, all of these things that have happened have made everybody suspicious whether that's valid or not, and that's the real deal. We want to get back to where we know that what we're getting is what it
we're
is.
We're confident.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm giving some additional training to the new school board candidates on December 10th. They already have the invite via email. And we're going to, you know, we're going to make sure that our new board, school board member candidates do the right thing, that they are bold, righteous, constitutional, moral, and ethical. And we're going to get these school boards turned around. I wish we would have had, you know, more people run this cycle, but we've got 2 years, hopefully, for the next school board cycle, hopefully to get 80 or 90 people to run. I'm going to run again for Area 2 in 2 years because the other two seats will be up in 2 years for SCOE Area 2. So I'm going to run at least for that. I don't know, maybe something else. But so Anderson High School, excuse me, the two top vote getters for Anderson High School Board, newcomer challengers. Over the two incumbents. I mean, amazing, right?
See, that's the red wave. That's the red wave, yeah. Rich, that we're talking about, is that at the local levels, we started getting conservatives in the races. They started understanding how to run. They started how to run a campaign. You know, most of us conservatives just want to be left alone. You know, we just want to live our lives. We don't want to be that involved in politics. But in the experiment called self-governance, we have to be involved or we end up with what we've been getting.
But, and I think they realize that they actually have the power, and we do have to go back to the local level. And I think a lot of people woke up to that.
I think it's happening. And if you look at the map across the board through the counties between red and blue, we are overwhelmingly a red country. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's only these large population centers and the places that they're either cheating or ballot harvesting or change the rules.
Yeah. And then Millville School District. All three ladies that are winning, and I think their margin is unbeatable at this point, all three members, non-incumbents, all three of them won over the two incumbents. So they're going to take Millville School District. Yeah, it's a small district, but you know what? We're going to make some changes here. Even though I'm likely going to lose my seat, there's going to be a coalition formed with these patriotic school board members. Guess who they're going to tap into for advice and counsel? Yeah, that would be me. So, as a matter of fact, you know, you can strike me down now, Darth, but I shall become more powerful than ever, right? So, I'm going to have some influence, and they're going to take my advice consent as they desire.
So,
right?
Should we start calling you Obi-Wan Gallardo now?
Sure. It's Obi-Wan Stones now. So, anyway, but what I'm saying is we're making good changes, and, you know, we're going to turn some of these small ships around. We did not get the big school boards, you know, Cascade, Shasta Union Enterprise, unfortunately. We didn't get those. The Gateway Unified School District, we're teetering on that majority with Cheryl Clifford. Literally, she's only 8 votes ahead with one more ballot drop.
Well, it's almost criminal that we're still even arguing the point of who's winning the races, you know? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
At what point in time do we have a one-day election? You got Florida with... what is the fourth?
I think it was 3 times the amount.
Well, I'm talking about the fourth largest populous state or something in the country, and they had after they cleaned up the voter rolls, after they cleaned up all of the ballot harvesting, and they cleaned up all of the ballot drop boxes, they had all their stuff counted in one day, and they knew by 8 o'clock that night who won the election.
Yeah, a couple more, and I'll get out of here so you guests can do their thing. So. Gateway Unified Area 3, Lindsey Haynes, 600 vote lead over the incumbent, not likely to change. So congrats to her, early congrats to her. And the last one, Shasta Union High School District. We did get a Patriot on there, by the way. Oh, wow, six people ran. Oh, wow, our non-incumbent Patriot beat all six of them in total votes. Gee, I wonder why that's happening. Great show, guys. And any questions before I get out of here?
No. Thanks for calling in and giving the update like usual. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Rich.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, bye. Yeah, we do have one of the... I'm assuming he won the election at this point because, I don't know, do we have to cut a deck of cards or do a Ouija board thing to know for sure?
Yeah.
I mean, so we've got Arthur Gorman and his beautiful wife, Katie, with us today.
Yeah, we do.
And a special guest. And so maybe he can enlighten us or somebody can enlighten us on, are you actually a candidate who has won an election yet?
Well, it does look like also with Gateway, it does look like we did win because it is... it is a choose two, so it looks like Cheryl did win at least one. She won one of those seats. So
she's number one.
She's number one. So she did win one of those seats. So it we do have the majority there on Gateway, which pretty happy about that. That's where I work.
So, you know, the ROB says there's about 2,000 votes left to put in. I'm at 17,600, and the guy below me is at 14,800, but there's two positions, and the other incumbent is all the way down at 11,000. So if they don't call the race, I'm not really sure where they're going to get all the votes to beat me are.
What? Well, don't ask the question too much.
I could count 2,000 votes before breakfast. I mean, come on, what the heck is going on over there?
They got machines, they got people. Come on, let's get this done.
Oh, and these machines are supposed to be more efficient?
You would think.
it takes a lot to stick.
Well, I think they're more efficient at fixing the votes or fixing the election or fixing a lot of things, but I don't think they're all that great about counting the votes up and determining who won.
Mark, we don't say that. It's called fortifying the election. That's the appropriate term to use.
And didn't they know the election was coming and that they needed to count the ballots and all of that prior?
No.
Oh.
No, it was all that what happened was that day they just decided today's election
they just figured out that they had to do it.
And they said they just put out a public service announcement saying everybody show up at the polls today because we're totally unprepared.
Well, you get 8 days until after the election to collect all the mail-in ballots that have been postmarked to the day of the election, even though you had all month to turn them in.
That sit down at the post office on the floor.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
That's a ticket.
That's where those 2,000 votes came from.
So if there are 2,000 votes, none of them are for Arthur Gorman.
I still win.
You still win. Which is great.
So I guess
we want to congratulate you on that as well.
You can't call the election yet. Why?
Yeah.
He did get his... congratulatory email from the superintendent of schools this week.
Yeah. So they've decided. That
Judy did reach out.
But I guess maybe you're sticking in the craw of Darling Allen.
You're right, yeah. I've been waiting for the elected officials to tell me I won.
Maybe she doesn't like your wife.
Yeah.
I don't think she likes
call the
many.
Police on me.
It's really interesting.
She's the one that intimidates.
Yeah. Well, her biggest complaint is that Kathy Darling Allen in her complaint letter said that she has a hard time now because she has to educate the public, she has to give more tours, and she has to give more trainings. And because of that, her job is a lot harder.
And answer questions.
And she has to answer questions. I thought that's what her job as the elected official that runs the department was.
I seriously have a hard time listening to what you're saying without wanting to throw something through the freaking glass.
Yeah, I know. If I went and told my boss, you know, it's really difficult. I'm really having a hard time educating people.
You know,
they just show me the door.
I think we ought to start telling our clients that. We don't know the answer.
I have a clip here that's really germane to what we're talking about. This is a fired Twitter employee who you know, is at a job interview, I think we should listen to a few minutes of it, because it's kind of like how the elections office is sort of run by the Democrats and the liberals. So let's play this for a few minutes, and we can have a little fun, and then we can talk about how it applies to our situation right now.
Mr. Dunsinson?
Yeah, come on in. You know, you're 20 minutes late.
Yeah, Twitter, we didn't have, like, start times. Schedules are a remnant of an oppressive colonialist regime.
Oppressive colonialist regimes? Okay. Well, look, the work here is pretty demanding. We need to find someone who can inspect all of our outgoing... Miss, are you okay?
I'm sorry. I'm not really used to bosses using trigger words like demanding.
She's breathing in a bag.
But this is a job.
We don't say that either.
Then how do you get any work? How do you get any labor stuff, production, the handwork? Not work, sorry. Stuff done. How do you get any stuff done?
Streep's got tons of stuff done on Twitter.
Oh, okay. Well, what would you say you did there?
I was responsible for so much as a content moderation specialist. Some days during my afternoon cornhole sesh, I'd get a text telling me I had to ban someone.
So then you'd have to actually, like, walk over to your computer and ban them?
No. I would just hit a button on my phone, and then BAM! Babylon Bee, banned. Libs of TikTok, banned. Steve from Fruitport, Michigan, you know he banned. And then back to cornhole.
All right, well, what else did you do there?
Drank like a sailor. They had wine on tap, mimosas, a full microbrewery. They also had AA, which was kind of helpful for me. One day at a time.
Well, congratulations. So I think I've seen everything that I need to see. Did you have any questions for us?
Tons. Okay, first, you don't actually, like, expect me to come into the office, do you?
Well, how do you expect to get any work done, labor done, stuff done at the factory without coming into the factory?
Oh, so this is like a job. Yeah, that might be a deal breaker for me. Also, I didn't notice any meditation rooms when I came in. Do you guys have any gurus on site, or is it more like a BYOG type situation?
BY what?
Also, I didn't see a QR code for your lunch menu, but I assume your shrimp is non-GMO and cage-free.
Shrimp? Where'd you get shrimp? We don't have any shrimp.
Hey, sorry to interrupt, boss. Pneumatic drill is on the fritz again. I need to go pick up some parts. I'll be back in 5.
Ugh! What was on his hand?
It was grease.
How did it get there?
Because he works, does stuff, engages in manual labor.
Okay, that's it. I can't do this. I'm sorry, Mr. Dunsinson. We've decided to go in a different direction.
All right, well, I'm sorry to hear that, miss.
No.
So he holds out his hand to shake it. He's got grease all over it. But, you know, it obviously this is tongue-in-cheek. This is obviously
it's
the Babylon Bee.
Really not, though.
But exactly.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, and this, by the way, Alex sent me this morning, my sister's son. And then I wanted to give credit for the other clip for Turley from our brother who sent that to me this morning as well. So I'm going to try to actually, acknowledge the people that are sending me all this information and getting it on the show. But it is true.
Well, and to that, so I have an article here from November 16th where Elon Musk went extremely hardcore. Elon Musk announces Twitter 2.0 in midnight employee email. The email appears to suggest employees will be tasked with intense workload and will maintain employment through exceptional performance. Musk doubled down on the importance of Twitter's code writers, constituting the greatest sway regarding the success of the platform. A confirmation link was provided in an email which Musk instructed employees to click in agreement with his proposed standards for Twitter's endeavor by Thursday evening. Employees disagreeing with Musk's standards or failing to click the link would go with 3 months of severance pay, according to the email. Going forwards to break through to Twitter 2.0 and succeed in an increasingly competitive world, we will need to be extremely hardcore, reads the letter obtained by Business Insider. This will mean working long hours and at high intensity. Only exceptional performance will constitute a passing grade.
Well, that's it.
What's interesting about this is about 80% of the employees So, no, we're not going to do it.
Yeah, so they fired themselves, basically, because they had to work.
Right.
I think we have this kind of a thought process in a lot of government as well, where maybe not to this extreme, but the thought process is, see, in the private sector, how I get paid more, as opposed to just getting a raise, is getting creative about how much more work I can produce. So that I get paid because the more innovative I get about production, in other words, the more people that I can serve, the more people that I can take care of, I don't just automatically get a raise. I have to come up with a value of some sort, whether it's my service is valuable or my time is more valuable, my expertise is more valuable. I got to have something, all right? But that's not how it works in government. Most employees are talking about, you know, I want a bigger salary, I want a raise, I want more benefits, you know, I want a retirement program. But the value of the exchange doesn't come into play typically on what you get because of that. It's mm-hmm. just automatically assumed that you're going to, creep up the ladder somehow. And I equate it to the farmer, the old parable of the farmer. Okay, so here's how the difference between the farmer and the people working for the farm. Okay, the farmer, you know, what are the people working on the farm? They want more money. They want to raise the less hours. You know, all of vacation time, all of that. And you know, yes, the farmer, what's he thinking about? And he's thinking about, I hope it rains. I hope the crops come in. I hope we don't have a big freeze. And you can see there's a disconnect from reality between the two. And I think that's the problem with government. The government employees are not being held accountable to reality, and the people that, you know, are supposed to be involved in the negotiation of the service or the value, which would be the parents.
Well, and to that, most government workers, the key word is work. There is a difference between just
or the parents
sitting on your butt doing nothing, collecting.
I'm looking at Katie when I say this because I know she's a teacher, but I'm also looking, you know, we're talking about the elections office as well, and I'm going to say that, you know, the other party over there is the voters.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. You know, we have a big disconnect, and, you know, it's not being taught in schools as far as when you get older. We have a lot of people that are business owners here in town that they say, you know, I wish when I went to school that they taught me about business and finance and
financial.
You know, they have some good programs with ROP as far as firefighting and police and healthcare, maybe even education, but they don't really have anything that gears the minds of those people that would go into business.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, that's a rich dad, poor dad thing as well. That was one of his biggest things is that they don't even teach kids how to do a checkbook. I think we can have the best of all worlds here if we realize who the service is for.
Right.
Well, I think the biggest thing is that, you know, for me, this journey that I've gone on is, you know, parents need rights and parents need the seat, you know, quote unquote seat at the table. What I found is that we absolutely do. And that's those school board positions. It's imperative that these parents mm-hmm. show up at these school board meetings, run and take over these boards.
Yep.
You would not believe the amount of power and autonomy that a school board has. And this is where we have to take this fight and take this front too. Yes, your teachers do have a right to their job in the form of tenure, and that's for a lot of reasons, but it's something to be debated because when you have a political, you know, tide turning, you need that consistency. And teachers do not need to be beholden to what school board is up there at any given moment, and then everybody just gets wiped their job.
As long as the curriculum is not political.
Well, so you focus on the wrong thing because you could, as a school board, you could sit there and you could vet curriculum. You could pick the best one that you really want. And you could spend all this time and energy, and it's all a distraction. Because in the end, and we found this out right now in Shasta County, supplemental materials are, most teachers right now are working 100% supplemental materials.
What does that mean?
So basically, I go by the state standards, and I can teach those state standards, but I can use whatever I want. I have the autonomy to do that. Now, your school boards and these school boards that we're taking over, we are going to address that topic, which is that supplemental material. Your school board is spending a whole bunch of money on curriculum that is, frankly, garbage anyways,
right,
and teachers don't like it.
Don't use.
We're kind of saying the same thing in a different way.
Well, you know, it's a really, really, really important how you approach this situation, because if a school board spends a lot of time adopting curriculum, this official process, and not looking at what is the official curriculum, here's a perfect example. Just recently, we had to have a walkthrough, a Williams Act walkthrough, which to make sure that we had all of our curriculum on campus. I had a science curriculum and a history curriculum I had absolutely no idea existed. I'd been working there for 5 years. So, and that was official and adopted.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. California Governor Gavin Newsom will not be running for president in 2024.
Governor Gavin Newsom has won 3 elections in 5 years in America's largest state. Is apologetic about his party's messaging defects and wants the world to know going forth he's not going to challenge President Biden for the Democratic nomination in 2024. His message to White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain and First Lady Jill Biden over the summer was to count him as a firm supporter of Mr. Biden's reelection. Newsom relayed the same to the president on election night in November. He has been seen by many as a political threat from within the party of the 80-year-old commander-in-chief. Bernie Bennett reporting.
Officials say shelling by Russian forces has struck several areas in eastern and southern Ukraine today. Utility crews are scrambling to restore power, water, and heating from widespread strikes that have been going on for some time. Venezuela's government and the opposition have agreed to a UN-managed fund to finance health, food, and education programs for the poor, and the U.S. is easing some oil restrictions on the country.
Over the past few years, there have been failed attempts at trying to find a way out of Venezuela's political crisis. But now, the government and the opposition, with the help of Norway as mediator, have drawn up an agreement that aims to ensure that billions of dollars frozen abroad will be gradually released by a UN-managed fund, and that money can be put towards healthcare, education, and food aid. The Biden administration, in response, said it would allow the American oil company Chevron to resume some activity in Venezuela, including importing Venezuelan crude into the U.S.
BBC correspondent Katie Watson. Elon Musk says Twitter plans to relaunch its premium service that will offer different colored check marks to accounts this week. Friday's announcement, the latest change he's been making. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Are you kidding me? Gas prices are up again? Somebody has to do something. Well, someone did. That's why I use Upside. Upside? What's that? It's a free app that pays you back real money for every gallon of gas or diesel you buy. I just earned 25 cents back on every gallon of this tank. Hold on. So the Upside app is free and you actually get cash back every time you use it? No strings attached?
Yep, it's awesome. Check it out. It only takes a couple of minutes to sign up.
Instead of just watching your dollars go into your tank, start putting money back into your wallet with the free app from Upside. With the price of gas today, it's big news and big money. To cash out of your Upside cash, just transfer it to your bank account, PayPal, or a gift card. Upside users have already earned over $200 million. Now it's your turn. Download the free Upside app and get cash back on every gallon of gas. Use promo code SALEM for an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up. That's code S-A-L-E-M. Use code SALEM for an extra 25 cents per gallon back in your first fill-up. Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
The Japanese are getting a lot of attention at the World Cup.
And that includes the players and the fans because they clean up after themselves following the match, regardless of the outcome. They pick up their trash and simply deposit it in the nearest receptacle. But it's really nothing unusual for the Japanese. They are simply doing what most Japanese do at home, school, at work, on the streets. One official says, for Japanese people, this is just the normal thing to do. Jason Walker reporting.
Macau has tentatively renewed the casino licenses of MGM Resorts, Las Vegas Sands, Wynn Resorts, and 3 Chinese rivals after they promised to help diversify the economy by investing in non-gambling attractions. The announcement, big news for owners who have invested billions of dollars to build the Chinese administrative zone near Hong Kong into a global gambling center. News and analysis at townhall.com. One of the biggest rivalries in college football was settled yesterday, once again, for at least a year.
J.J. McCarthy accounts for four touchdowns as CFP number 3 Michigan stuns number 2 Ohio State 45-23. McCarthy threw for 263 yards and three touchdowns and ran in another to help Michigan outscore Ohio State 28-3 in the second half and improved to 12-0, clinching a spot in the Big Ten championship game.
At the end of the day, this one doesn't even matter. This doesn't matter. The job's not finished. We got so much more to do, and So many places to go.
C.J. Stroud tossed for 349 yards and two touchdowns, but it was two late interceptions that sealed the Buckeyes' fate. Ohio State drops to 11-1. I'm Denny Kapp.
Today is Sunday, November the 27th, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday, including Academy Award-winning director Catherine Bigelow, 71 years old today. Bill Nye, the science guy, is turning 67. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Southern Minds. We got a little southern music going on today, just letting you know. yeah. Plug yourself in and shut up. Today is...
I can't get the plug to work.
All righty then. So, today is November the 20th. I get my thing plugged in here, too. Shut up.
Payback's you know what.
All right. My name is Mark Kent. I'm your host. Today's Sunday, November 20th, 2022. And we're brought to you by, well, lots of different people. MountaintopMedia.com is a good place to go if you want to see all our podcasts.
We're supported by all the great patriots out there.
Luke Pearson Construction, Custom Homes and Excavating, 530-605-9575, licensed and bonded. Big shout-out to Big O Tires over there, Jay and the gang. I'm here in the great city of Jefferson with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning. I'm having issues, and I'm watching people outside. Sorry. You know, you got to watch some of these things that go by or what's going on across the street or whatever, just to be safe.
He's wrestling with his
He's having an issue with his little dog in his sweater. Oh, well. Right.
Turn mine down just a hair. It's up a little.
I don't even know what.
It's the yellow one. The yellow one. Yellow. Yeah, it's like, man, there we go. A little more, a little more, a little more. Look, not that much. Up. Keep going up. Stop it. Go. Right there. That's perfect. All right.
Are you sure?
A little more. Touch more. There we go. Can hear myself. Maybe.
Oh,
maybe
that's kind of scary.
More. It's kind of weird, you know. It's just kind of weird. It's what's so high is blasting my eardrums. A little more.
Jeez.
A little more. Right there. That's perfect. Okay. All right.
Are you sure?
Anyway, we have a fast-paced show, as usual.
We do.
Terry and Wynn were talking about the elections official here in town. You know,
I can't wait. Do we have to put official there?
Well, she's officially the official.
Yeah, kind of.
Officially. And although something's fishy on the official.
On the official, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, you know, it's just so weird these days. I mean, everything's so weird. You know, we're being told, oh, the economy's great. Oh, yeah, look, the stock market. Look, nothing's wrong. All the businesses are roaring back. And no.
And don't question anything.
Don't question anything.
You know, don't do it.
So you got this, you know, they changed all the voting rules. They got ballot boxes instituted. You know, they got
mail-in ballots,
voting machines, dogs and cats living in sin. You know, I mean, and we're not supposed to say anything, or we're weaponized.
Yeah.
You're weaponized. You know, really? So you're not weaponizing the elections office, really, are you? The letter.
No, she wouldn't do that.
You know, trying to set up some kind of a thing so that we have to be investigated as terrorists because everybody's a terrorist that doesn't agree with what the government says does or implements on you.
Right. And if anything happens, it's going to be our fault. You know that. No matter who does it, you know.
What a piece of
work. And just in, before we get to our caller, Jimmy, we just found out in the lobby that she didn't send just three cards. There's at least four of these things that went out. Yeah, because my two are different than Terry's two. So, just saying.
But it's about money, you know. They're costing us a lot of money to have to, you know, give them information to know that we're being, you know, honest and fair in our elections. And it's costing a lot of money, you know, for us to have extra people and train them and observers. And it's costing us a lot of money. Oh, by the way, I'll take $42,000 on my salary as a bonus.
It's
costing us a lot of money.
I made a mistake, and it's going to cost you guys $82,000, but you guys are costing us a lot of money.
Yeah, it's never their costing a lot of money. It's never their, you know, if we looked at their bloated budget, how much does she make a year? I don't even know.
I don't know. Yeah. But, you know, in reference to her letter, she said something about $112,000 and that could pay for a fireman, a policeman, or whatever. What about your 82 grand there, Kevin?
What about the 42 that you're taking? You're already bloated.
Yeah, so we got 82 and 42. That takes us over the amount of 112 that you're costing us, Kathy. Just say,
yeah, it's just insane.
But anyway, we've got Jimmy on the line. Good morning, Jimmy.
Good morning, folks.
Hey, I can hardly hear you.
How about
that's
now?
Better.
That's better. Can we turn off the lights
yeah,
in
good
the
morning,
studio
folks.
Here? Because I
know,
feel like I'm on
most
display.
People, most
Thank
9
you.
To 5ers in Shasta County would love to even make $42,000.
You got that?
That's the medium that's the medium income.
Yeah.
It's like 45 or 50 or something, whatever it is. And her, she gets a salary raise with that?
I know. I heard that. I had to call in to the show and go, did you just say 42,000 extra or
yeah.
42,000?
Yeah.
No, 42 extra.
Extra.
Yeah.
Extra. Extra.
So I thought I was having a flashback.
I guess they just forgot.
You might have been,
they just forgot
but
about
it
that.
Is extra.
Just forget about that. Forget I ever said anything.
So a couple things I'd like to mull over with you guys, and I'll get off the phone. So I remember listening to one of the local shows, and they had Kathy Darling on, and they were talking about the Dominion machines.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, are they plugged into the internet? Can they get hacked?
Of course
you know,
not.
Like somebody in China or wherever, Uzbekistan, is going to you know, just go in there and have.
Oh,
the
you're doing
no
that.
Yeah,
come
way.
On, you're doing that conspiracy theorist terrorist crap again. Cut it out, Jimmy.
No, no, that's what people are saying. I'm not saying that because what I'm saying is I'm pretty sure that the Dominion is already pre-programmed to turn the votes.
Well, it could, who knows? But don't ask questions because these trust your government. Trust, you know, these are the same people that, you know, brought you, you know, all these other programs like, I don't know, Pegasus and...
well,
and,
don't let the software coming out of China make you question anything.
Yeah, the,
come on, right. Jimmy.
The guys that brought you Russian disinformation, pay attention.
Right. I mean, I know that. I mean, they could go plug that machine into some warehouse back room and have somebody hack it, but I believe the complaints I've heard are that it
it's flipping the votes right away. Yeah, I mean, that's what I've seen, too.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard both. I've heard, you know, DeKalb County, Georgia, it was just flipping the votes right away. They didn't have anything to do with the Internet. You know, they're pre-programmed. So if somebody walks in and programs it, you know, and they let somebody through, they put their little flash drive in, it pre-programs it, they pull the flash drive out, you don't have to be hooked up to the Internet. You just get to win the election. It kind of goes back to
exactly.
You know, Stalin's thing of he who counts the votes.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm just saying it goes back to Stalin's theory of he who counts the votes.
Exactly, but I believe it's more pre-programmed than actual, you know, Internet hacking, which I'm not a computer guy by any means, trust me. Give me an A-track and a CB, I'm good. But,
well, that's why I was saying about the, you know, the software coming out of China. It's the software can already have it encoded in it, and it's downloaded into the machine.
And that's what I think the case is more than... direct Internet hacking.
You probably own a Walkman still. You should be investigated.
I wish I had one. Those things are worth big bucks now.
we just had Dave step in the studio.
The kid just walked in the building.
Ignore him.
Oh.
Okay.
So, I can't hear him anyway.
I know. He's not on
his
mic.
I'm going to get the show on the road so I can get off the air so you guys can go on.
Cool.
So the other thing I'd like to ask you folks about, which I'm really kind of wondering about, is does Dominion give donations to... people here in Shasta County?
Yes. Didn't we see that with Modi?
Actually, it was with Modi, yeah.
Yes.
Dominion gave Modi a campaign donation during the recall. The guy who owned Dominion or the head of it, he was a high-ranking officer, whatever it was.
There was association with Dominion, yeah.
Okay, well, that's not suspect, so I'm glad.
Neither is Sierra Forward, where all the Democrats donate to our local conservatives.
Right.
Gee, that's okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, and then, you know, Kathy Darling's letter about the guy from out of state that's controlling all the elections, really?
Oh.
I guess he missed all of those fundraisers and all those meetings and all those walking the precincts and all of those gathering of signatures. It was all because Dr. Evil, you know, implemented his strategy on all. We're part of the Borg. That's the deal.
Hey, I wonder if anybody cashed in on Dominion Miles to get a... free flight to Arizona.
Or to the train station.
There. They completely botched the election. You know, the voter machines aren't tallying anything. You have to go to the precinct. People said their votes were already counted, even though they hadn't voted yet. But there's nothing to see here. And Carrie Lake is just, you know, she's just madcap.
Well, the scary thing about this is, too, is from what I can see, the legal cheating, and that's a weird thing to say, but...
How do you legally cheat?
I'm going to show you. I've got a clip.
I know, but, you know, come on.
So here's the thing. In 2020, they ended up changing the way we vote. They ended up changing with all the mail-in votes.
Right.
They ended up changing and making it legal for a lot of these states.
Ballot harvesting is legal.
Yes.
Or ballot harvesting. And unless we set up and do the exact same thing as what they're doing...
It just so happens that I have a great clip that will show you that that's exactly what's going on.
Good.
Okay. And the red wave was not a big red wave on the national stage... But they forgot to talk about all the little local races, Red Wave. They forgot to talk about the fact that, oh, let's just take a look at our county, for example. It looks like Kevin Cry is probably going to pull that out over Reznor.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like Chris Kellstrom won as well. So we've got now a pretty good board sitting there. And then it looks like there's a bunch of school board races.
Right.
And so this has been happening across the country. The red wave is done at the local level, but they just, and oh, by the way, we did take over the House with the, and the last people that were elected for were from the state of California that turned it into a majority. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
It's interesting. Matt played something that Florida has three times the amount of people than Arizona, but they got their votes done by 9.
Yeah, yep. By 9. Yep. Yeah. So it's all about the games. It's all about the playing of the games. But we're going to get into that. I have a clip here that you're just going
to
love.
But to your
okay,
point about...
More,
oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Thing, and I'll get off the air and let you guys rock it. So the blue, the black markers they wanted us to use down at the polling station.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
At,
I didn't do it.
I didn't.
My wife and I, we brought our own pens.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, so we
filled mine out before.
And they really pushed those markers on us. We're like, no, we're going to use our pens.
No, I took it and said, hey, yeah, this will look great on the. I'll use this for a permanent marker on my socks.
They didn't even ask me. I already had mine filled out.
Well, they said, well, you're going to have to wait 20 minutes for the ink to dry.
What?
Really?
Have you heard this one?
No.
Uh-oh.
No. Oh, my gosh. What a quinky dinker. Yeah. They said, you're going to have, my wife went first. They said, you're going to have to wait 15, 20 minutes for the ink to dry. She's like,
why
all
is,
right.
Why
and
that?
Like, are you sure? No, here. Just. She's like, no, I'm okay. I got
the other, you know, what's interesting, Jimmy, is the other ones work just fine, and you don't have to wait at all.
And that's a
right.
different
well,
story
here's,
than
here's
I told
point.
Before.
Oh, so, what's that?
Go ahead.
So here's my quick point. I'll get off the air. So I can go into a 7-Eleven and fill out a lottery ticket with ink, shove it right in the machine, and it'll give me my numbers. But you can't put that in a Dominion machine.
Well, that's because you're. I'm sure that. What's your name and address again, Jimmy? Because I need to send that to the Homeland Security, because I think you're some sort of a malcontent.
You're supposed to just accept it and go on.
You've been weaponized by some guy in Connecticut.
Right. Yeah, I got you. Well, so anyways, yeah, I thought that ink thing was weird.
Never
yeah,
heard
it,
that
it,
one.
It is. It's totally
because
weird.
Because when we, I believe when she was on our show before, she said that there was no problem, that you didn't have to worry about it, that they didn't leave smudges or you didn't have to worry about them drying, that you could put them directly into
well,
the machine.
Well, what it is they lie about everything.
Folks, I promise you that happened. So
I have no doubt.
Yeah. All right, folks.
All right,
well,
thanks, Jimmy.
I'll post the silver and gold prices here.
Hey, there
okay.
you go. Cool. Thanks. Okay,
and
so.
To your point, I was going to say, if you, I was reading the Epoch Times or however you want to say that, that they're showing a lot of the communities across the United States at the local level took back a lot of commissions,
that's,
school
that's,
boards.
There was,
I mean,
a,
yeah, there
was
a huge
a red
article.
Wave.
About that.
There
the
was a red
Times.
Wave, but yeah. it was more at
the
local
level.
Levels.
And, of
okay?
course, mainstream
because
media
it,
skips
you know,
over that.
It's harder to cheat at the local levels.
Well, and also the big thing on it is, too, is I think they knew that they had set it up this way. So, for instance, you had Chuck that was caught on a hot mic saying, oh, it's going to be a disaster. It's going to be...
Well, they set this whole thing up as the red wave. Sure, absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah, because then if you think it's going to be a red wave, you're more likely to stay home or not vote.
Well, it's that, and then it's also, if you look at the way they're playing it as though it was some type of victory and how Biden is going to continue doing exactly what he's doing because...
All you have to do is ask yourself one question. Did we take back the House?
Yes.
Yeah. Are we better off this week than we were last week across the nation?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are in a lot of ways.
No
yeah.
question. So but let me get to this clip. Okay, let me get to this clip. Okay, have you heard of Dr. Steve Turley yet?
No.
Okay, this is a name that you probably need to know about. Dr. Steve Turley was born in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Not Idaho. Iowa. Okay, he is the author of 18 books, including his most recent, I Refuse. He is a professor of public policy, political science at George Mason University, where he authored four more books. The Restructuring of the Global Order was being his latest. So this guy is not a schmo. I mean, he teaches at two universities in Canada and Turkey as well as Oxford. So this guy's not a dummy. Okay. And so I just want to set that up so it doesn't it's not sounding like when he starts talking here, just another pundit that doesn't know anything about nothing. Yeah. But this is very important, and this is about ballot harvesting. And we need to understand this because the title of this video is Proven Ballot Harvesting Strategy That Will Crush the Dems in 2024. And so let's listen to this for a few minutes, and then we'll talk about it. Here we go.
Have a ballot harvesting strategy that will crush the Democrats in 2024. The strategy is coming from Sean Steele, the Republican National Committeeman from California. He's a very savvy political tactician. His wife, Michelle Steele, just won her House race in California's 48th district. And she won largely through utilizing this ballot harvesting strategy, which effectively neutralized her Democrat opponent's early mail-in vote advantage. And she's not alone. Republicans control the House right now precisely because of all of these wins in California, where ballot harvesting is the legal norm. It was, in fact, Kevin Kiley, the winner of California's 3rd district, who put the GOP at 218 seats and in control of the House. So there's some magic going on here in California. While our hopeless pundit class is trying to come up with some narrative that explains that success, the answer, as we're finding from Sean Steele, the reason for this success doesn't boil down to a narrative like, oh, Trump sucks, or abortion, abortion. Instead, the answer is strategy. It's employing a tactic that since 2018, the Democrats have tapped into their electoral success, but now the GOP in Southern California is beating them at their own game. Michelle Steele won her seat in a plus-5 Democrat district. It's a Northwest Orange County district. Biden carried it by 6 points, but Michelle Steele, utilizing this ballot harvesting tactic, won. So, what are they doing? Well, in California, as I'm sure you know, ballot harvesting is, of course, the legal norm. Ballot harvesting is the practice in which political operatives collect absentee ballots from voters' homes and drop them off at a polling place or election office. You may not know, but in California, you can come into the polls with as many ballots as you want that you could personally carry and drop them off, no questions asked. Now, obviously, we can bitch and moan all we want about that, or we can do what California Republicans are doing, and that's adapting their election strategies to beat the Democrats at their own game. The key here is that Republicans have been making conservative evangelical churches their absentee ballot centers. Drop boxes are being placed in the middle of churches throughout their districts. The parishioners are instructed on how to sign the ballot. Both the ballot and the envelope have to be signed for signature matching and verification. And the church elders, in turn, take the drop boxes directly to the register of voters. So the entire process is streamlined. There are clear instructions on how to fill out the ballot. And because it involves church staff and administration taking the ballots to the polling centers, there's a great deal of confidence among parishioners that their votes are being handled responsibly and are being counted, with a clear chain of custody protocol being followed. But drop boxes aren't just being put at the center of churches. We're talking gun shops. We're talking sporting and hunting shops. You know, it's any and all kinds of places where patriots hang out. And it's working. Again, what has to be reiterated here is that this is the second election in a row where California Republicans have cleaned the Democrats' clocks using this tactic. We have to remember that back in 2018, that was the first election, the last midterms before this year's midterms, that was the first election California Democrats used the strategy of ballot harvesting, and they clobbered the Republicans. They picked up a whole host of seats. And again, back then, the Republican establishment was doing exactly what they're doing now. They were whining about Trump. It's all Trump's fault. Trump, it's all Trump. Mean tweets, mean tweets. These idiots actually think that elections are still won based on who runs. Hello, Festerman. But California Republicans didn't go there. They recognized that they got crushed not because of a person, but because of a plan. They realized it wasn't Trump, it was a tactic that beat them in the end. So they adapted. They began to employ the same strategies that Democrats use with their constituencies, but now with Republican constituencies, so as to maximize their vote. They put drop-off boxes in churches, gun shops, and the like, and lo and behold, look at what happened in 2020. Do you remember we came within just a handful of seats of winning back the House in 2020? Do you remember that? Well, just like last Tuesday, that's because a huge portion of those 2020 seat flips came from California. They flipped 4 seats in California alone back in 2020, and by big margins, too. And they're doing it again in this midterm election. Once again, in the second election in a row, it's California where we're seeing the most seats getting flipped from blue to red. One Republican strategist reported that back in 2020, Republicans used a drop box to collect over 12,000 ballots from one single church alone in Southern California. 12,000. This is the SoCal ballot harvesting strategy, and its potential as a national strategy for the GOP is enormous. And that's because we have to remember that evangelical voters, depending on how you define evangelical, but depending on the definition, evangelicals generally make up anywhere from a quarter to a third of the national vote, which is huge. White evangelicals make up the bulk of that percentage, and the AP VoteCast survey found that 81% of white evangelicals voted for Trump in 2020, and 80% voted for Trump in 2016. So we're talking about a huge voter base that with ballot harvesting can get even larger. Remember, one of the biggest disappointments in these last midterms is the failure of the rural vote to come out the way they came out in 2016-2020. J.D. Vance had a great piece talking about this in the American Conservative, and he noted that rural voters last week simply didn't come out in anywhere near the numbers that we needed them to in places like Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and Michigan and Arizona. And the reason is because in the end, there wasn't a get-out-the-vote effort to get them to the polls. And shame on us for that, because this has been the pattern, as Vance explained. This has been the historical pattern of rural voters for decades. Rural voters are not that engaged in politics.
Yeah, so I think we have to go to a break. Go ahead and stay on the line, Stones, and we'll come back here in a minute.
Right, and we will have special guests in the studio after the break. So if you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, We provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
So we're back. Let's finish this off, and then we got about a minute and a half or so of this clip, and then we'll get to Rich. So stay on, Rich, and we'll get you right back in here quick. I want to finish this because I think this strategy is really valuable for everybody to understand and to start implementing in the next election. It's what turned over the House this year.
Okay? But according to our local elections office, that's what happened here.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying. And they said 20,000 ballots got put in that box on election day.
Yeah.
I'll do it. I'll vote harvest like a fiend, man.
Yeah, that's right. I'd be chilling like a villain.
Right. Hey, it's legal since 2016 in California. Let's do it.
Done. Yeah,
I got a trailer.
All right.
Yeah,
hey.
All right, so let's finish it out, and then we'll get to Rich. Here we go.
And when they tended to vote Democrat before 2016, that worked to our advantage. The neocon Rhino Republican Party used to love it when the rural vote stayed home, since they were predominantly Democrat. But now in the grand old Patriot Party, the new Trumpian Republican Party, they're now our voters. And unless Trump is holding tons of rallies in their counties like he did in 2016 and 2020, there is going to have to be an alternative get-out-the-vote campaign to get them to the polls. Or we put drop boxes in every single rural church. Because guess who is the most religious church-going demographic in the nation? Can you say rural populations? It's no coincidence that the 10 most religious states in the nation correspond almost exactly to what have been designated as the most redneck travel destinations throughout the country.
That'd be us.
This right. is how we crush the Democrats in 2024. This is how we absolutely overwhelm their early mail-in vote advantage. We're not merely looking to offset their ballot harvesting advantage. We want to smash it. We want to decimate it. Now, obviously, there's more to it, as Maricopa County showed us, the shame to the world. We've got to find ways of being the ones counting the votes, so there's more at the administrative and precinct levels that we need to do, no question. But in terms of overwhelming the actual ballots, This SoCal strategy has worked 2 elections in a row for us. It's time to make it the model for all states that still use ballot harvesting, because it promises to be a real game changer in the
Well, there you have it. Yeah. Before we get to our guests, let's go to Rich, and then we'll introduce our special guests that are here in the studio already.
Are you still there, Rich?
Yeah, I'm here. Hello.
Hello. Hello. You're on.
Thank you, guys. I'll go as quick as I can. excuse me. I want to talk about some of the local school board wins, and I'll be generic. I know people, they don't like to hear a bunch of numbers on the radio, but, you know, Author Gorman and I, again, on election day, the ballot in the machine, Author and I got 77% on election day. That's what Author and I got for the Shasta County Office of Education Area 2. Now, the official numbers, of course, don't reflect that necessarily. Author's in the lead by 2,000-plus votes over a 16-year incumbent. What does that tell you? I bumped the 10-year incumbent, although I won't win a seat. But that's, you know, it is what it is. I have been offered, remember with the 4 election experts that looked into our June primary, I have been offered, hey, would you like my expert to look into your SCOE race in November? I said, yes, please. So I will be getting that report, and it will be my humble opinion that my race was likely stolen from me. They don't want me to be an elected dog catcher in Shasta County, let alone a SCOE board.
You know, even if it wasn't stolen, Rich, it would be nice to know that it wasn't stolen and that was the actual vote count. You know, all these shenanigans, all of these things that have happened have made everybody suspicious whether that's valid or not, and that's the real deal. We want to get back to where we know that what we're getting is what it
is. We're confident.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm giving some additional training to the new school board candidates on December 10th. They already have the invite via email. And we're going to, you know, we're going to make sure that our new board, school board member candidates do the right thing, that they are bold, righteous, constitutional, moral, and ethical. And we're going to get these school boards turned around. I wish we would have, you know, more people run this cycle, but we've got 2 years, hopefully, for the next school board cycle, hopefully to get 80 or 90 people to run. I'm going to run again for Area 2 in 2 years because the other 2 seats will be up in 2 years for SCOE Area 2. So I'm going to run at least for that. I don't know, maybe something else. But so Anderson High School, excuse me, the 2 top vote-getters for Anderson High School Board, newcomer challengers. Over the 2 incumbents. I mean, amazing, right?
See, that's the red wave. That's the red wave, yeah. Rich, that we're talking about, is that at the local levels, we started getting conservatives in the races. They started understanding how to run. They started how to run a campaign. You know, most of us conservatives just want to be left alone. You know, we just want to live our lives. We don't want to be that involved in politics. But in the experiment called self-governance, we have to be involved or we end up with what we've been getting.
And I think they realize that they actually have the power, and we do have to go back to the local level. And I think a lot of people woke up to that.
I think it's happening. And if you look at the map across the board through the counties between red and blue, we are overwhelmingly a red country. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's only these large population centers and the places that they're either cheating or ballot harvesting or change the rules.
Yeah. And then Millville School District. All 3 ladies that are winning, and I think their margin is unbeatable at this point, all 3 members, non-incumbents, all 3 of them won over the 2 incumbents. So they're going to take Millville School District. Yeah, it's a small district, but you know what? We're going to make some changes here. Even though I'm likely going to lose my seat, there's going to be a coalition formed with these patriotic school board members. Guess who they're going to tap into for advice and counsel? Yeah, that would be me. So, as a matter of fact, you know, you can strike me down now, Darth, but I shall become more powerful than ever, right? So, I'm going to have some influence, and they're going to take my advice consent as they desire.
So,
right?
Should we start calling you Obi-Wan Gallardo now?
Sure. It's Obi-Wan Stones now. So, anyway, but what I'm saying is we're making good changes, and, you know, we're going to turn some of these small ships around. We did not get the big school boards, you know, Cascade, Shasta Union Enterprise, unfortunately. We didn't get those. The Gateway Unified School District, we're teetering on that majority with Cheryl Clifford. Literally, she's only 8 votes ahead with one more ballot drop.
Well, it's almost criminal that we're still even arguing the point of who's winning the races, you know? I mean, come on. Yeah. At what point in time do we have a one-day election? You got Florida with, what, is the fourth
largest? I think it was 3 times the amount.
Well, I'm talking about the fourth largest populous state or something in the country. And they had their after they cleaned up the voter rolls, after they cleaned up all of the ballot harvesting, and they cleaned up all of the ballot drop boxes, they had all their stuff counted in one day, and they knew by 8 o'clock that night who won the election.
Yeah, a couple more and I'll get out of here so you guys can do their thing. So. Gateway Unified Area 3, Lindsey Haynes, 600 vote lead over the incumbent, not likely to change, so congrats to her, early congrats to her. And the last one, Shands Union High School District, we did get a Patriot on there, by the way. Oh, wow, 6 people ran. Oh, wow, our non-incumbent Patriot beat all 6 of them in total votes. Gee, I wonder why that's happening. Great show, guys, and any questions before I get out of here?
No. Thanks for calling in and giving the update like usual. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Rich.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. Yeah, we do have one of the I'm assuming he won the election at this point because, I don't know, do we have to cut a deck of cards or do a Ouija board thing to know for sure?
Yeah.
I mean, so we've got Arthur Gorman and his beautiful wife Katie with us today.
Yeah, we do.
And a special guest. And so maybe he can enlighten us or somebody can enlighten us on, are you actually a candidate who has won an election yet?
Well, it does look like also with Gateway, it does look like we did win because it is it is a choose two, so it looks like Cheryl did win at least one. She won one of those seats. So
she's number one.
She's number one. So she did win one of those seats. So we do have the majority there on Gateway, which pretty happy about that. That's where I work.
So, you know, the ROB says there's about 2,000 votes left to put in. I'm at 17,600, and the guy below me is at 14,800, but there's 2 positions, and the other incumbent is all the way down at 11,000. So if they don't call the race, I'm not really sure where they're going to get all the votes to beat me are.
What? Well, don't ask the question too much.
I could count 2,000 votes before breakfast. I mean, come on, what the heck is going on over there?
They got machines, they got people. Come on, let's get this done.
Oh, and then these machines are supposed to be more efficient?
You would think.
It takes a lot to stick.
Well, I think they're more efficient at fixing the votes or fixing the election or fixing a lot of things, but I don't think they're all that great about counting the votes up and determining who won.
Mark, we don't say that. It's called fortifying the election. That's the appropriate term to use.
You've
that's
been...
And didn't they know the election was coming and that they needed to count the ballots and all of that prior?
No.
Oh.
No, it was all that what happened was that day they just decided today's election.
They just figured it out that they had to do it.
And they said they just put out a public service announcement saying everybody show up at the polls today because we're totally unprepared.
Well, you get 8 days until after the election to collect all the mail-in ballots that have been postmarked the day of the election, even though you had all month to turn them in.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sit down at the post office on the floor.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the ticket.
That's where those 2,000 votes came from.
So if there are 2,000 votes, none of them are for Arthur Gorman.
I still win.
You still win. Which is great.
So I guess
we want to congratulate you on that as well.
You can't call the election yet. Why?
Yeah.
Well, he did get his congratulatory email from the superintendent of schools this week.
Yeah. So they've decided.
Judy did reach out.
But I guess maybe you're sticking in the craw of Darling Allen.
You're right, yeah. I've been waiting for the elected officials to tell me I won.
Maybe she doesn't like your wife.
Yeah.
I don't think she likes
call the police on
me. You know, yeah. It's really interesting.
Oh, yeah, she's the one that intimidates.
Yeah. Well, it's, her biggest complaint is that she, Kathy Darling Allen, in her complaint letter said that she has a hard time now because she has to educate the public, she has to give more tours, and she has to give more trainings. And because of that, her job is a lot harder.
And answer questions.
And she has to answer questions. I thought that's what her job as the elected official that runs the department was.
I seriously have a hard time listening to what you're saying without wanting to throw something through the freaking glass.
Yeah, I know. If I went and told my boss, you know, it's really difficult. I'm really having a hard time educating people.
You know,
they show me the door.
I think we ought to start telling our clients that. We don't know the answer.
I have a clip here that's really germane to what we're talking about. This is a fired Twitter employee who is at a job interview. I think we should listen to a few minutes of it because it's kind of like how the elections office is sort of run by the Democrats and the liberals. So let's play this for a few minutes and we can have a little fun and then we can talk about how it applies to our situation right now.
Mr. Dunsinson?
Yeah, come on in. You know, you're 20 minutes late.
Yeah, Twitter, we didn't have like start times. Schedules are remnant of an oppressive colonialist regime.
Oppressive colonialist regimes? Okay. Well, look, the work here is pretty demanding. We need to find someone who can inspect all of our outgoing... Miss, are you okay?
I'm sorry. I'm not really used to bosses using trigger words like demanding...
She's breathing in a bag.
But this is a job.
We don't say that either.
Then how do you get any work... I mean, so how do you get any labor stuff production, the handwork, not work, sorry, stuff done? How do you get any stuff done?
Streep's got tons of stuff done at Twitter.
Oh, okay. Well, what would you say you did there?
I was responsible for so much as a content moderation specialist. Some days during my afternoon cornhole sesh, I'd get a text telling me I had to ban someone.
So then you'd have to actually, like, walk over to your computer and ban them?
No. I would just hit a button on my phone, and then BAM! Babylon Bee, banned. Libs of TikTok, banned. Steve from Fruitport, Michigan, you know he banned. And then back to cornhole.
Alright, well, what else did you do there?
Drank like a sailor. They had wine on tap, mimosas, a full microbrewery. They also had AA, which was kind of helpful for me. One day at a time.
Well, congratulations. So I think I've seen everything that I need to see. Did you have any questions for us?
Tons. Okay, first, you don't actually, like, expect me to come into the office, do you?
Well, how do you expect to get any work done, labor done, stuff done at the factory without coming into the factory?
Oh, so this is like a job. Yeah, that might be a deal breaker for me. Also, I didn't notice any meditation rooms when I came in. Do you guys have any gurus on site, or is it more like a BYOG type situation?
BY what?
Also, I didn't see a QR code for your lunch menu, but I assume your shrimp is non-GMO and cage-free.
Shrimp? Where'd you get shrimp? We don't have any shrimp.
Hey, sorry to interrupt, boss. Pneumatic drill is on the fritz again. I need to go pick up some parts. I'll be back in 5.
Ugh! What was on his hand?
It was grease.
How did it get there?
Because he works, does stuff.
Wow.
Engages in manual labor.
Okay, that's it. I can't do this. I'm sorry, Mr. Dunsinson. We've decided to go in a different direction.
All right, well, I'm sorry to hear that, miss.
No.
So he holds out his hand to shake it. He's got grease all over it. But, you know, obviously this is tongue-in-cheek. This is obviously
it's
the Babylon Bee.
Really not, though.
But exactly.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, and this, by the way, Alex sent me this morning, my sister's son. And then I wanted to give credit for the other clip for Turley from our brother who sent that to me this morning as well. So I'm going to try to actually, acknowledge the people that are sending me all this information and getting it on the show. But it is true.
Well, and to that, so I have an article here from November 16th where Elon Musk went extremely hardcore
Elon Musk announces Twitter 2.0 in midnight employee email. The email appears to suggest employees will be tasked with intense workload and will maintain employment through exceptional performance. Musk doubled down on the importance of Twitter's code writers, constituting the greatest sway regarding the success of the platform. A confirmation link was provided in an email which Musk instructed employees to click in agreement with his proposed standards for Twitter's endeavor by Thursday evening. Employees disagreeing with Musk's standards or failing to click the link would go with 3 months of severance pay, according to the email. Going forwards to break through to Twitter 2.0 and succeed in an increasingly competitive world, we will need to be extremely hardcore, reads the letter obtained by Business Insider. This will mean working long hours and at high intensity. Only exceptional performance will constitute a passing grade.
Well, now, that's it.
What's interesting about this is about 80% of the employees said, no, we're not going to do it.
Yeah, so they fired themselves, basically, because they had to work.
Right.
I think we have this kind of a thought process in a lot of government as well, where maybe not to this extreme, but the thought process is, see, in the private sector, how I get paid more, as opposed to just getting a raise, is getting creative about how much more work I can produce. So that I get paid because the more innovative I get about production, in other words, the more people that I can serve, the more people that I can take care of, I don't just automatically get a raise. I have to come up with a value of some sort, whether it's my service is valuable or my time is more valuable, my expertise is more valuable. I got to have something, all right? But that's not how it works in government. Most employees are talking about, you know, I want a bigger salary, I want a raise, I want more benefits, you know, I want a retirement program. But the value of the exchange doesn't come into play typically on what you get because of that. It's mm-hmm. just automatically assumed that you're going to, creep up the ladder somehow. And I equate it to the farmer, the old parable of the farmer. Okay, so here's how the difference between the farmer and the people working for the farm. Okay, the farmer... You know, what are the people working on the farm? They want more money. They want to raise the less hours, you know, all of the vacation time, all of that. And, you know, you ask the farmer, what's he thinking about? And he's thinking about, I hope it rains. I hope the crops come in. I hope we don't have a big freeze. And you can see there's a disconnect from reality between the two. And I think that's the problem with government. The government employees are not being held accountable to reality, and the people that, you know, are supposed to be involved in the negotiation of the service or the value, which would be the parents.
Well, and to that, most government workers, the key word is work. There is a difference between just
or the parents,
sitting you know, on your butt doing nothing, collecting.
I'm looking at Katie when I say this because I know she's a teacher, but I'm also looking, you know, we're talking about the elections office as well, and I'm going to say that, you know, the other party over there is the voters.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. You know, we have a big disconnect, and, you know, it's not being taught in schools as far as when you get older. We have a lot of people that are business owners here in town that they say, you know, I wish when I went to school that they taught me about business and finance and
financial,
you know, they have some right. good programs with ROP as far as firefighting and police and healthcare, maybe even education, but they don't really have anything that gears the minds of those people that would go into business.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, that's a rich dad, poor dad thing as well. That was one of his biggest things is that they don't even teach kids how to do a checkbook. I think we can have the best of all worlds here if we realize who the service is for.
Right.
Well, I think the biggest thing is that, you know, for me, this journey that I've gone on is, you know, parents need rights and parents need the seat, you know, quote unquote seat at the table. What I found is that we absolutely do, and that's those school board positions. It's imperative that yeah. these parents mm-hmm. show up at these school board yep. meetings, run and take over these boards.
Yep.
You would not believe the amount of power and autonomy that a school board has. And this is where we have to take this fight and take this front too. Yes, your teachers do have a right to their job in the form of tenure, and that's for a lot of reasons, but it's something to be debated because when you have a political, you know, tide turning. You need that consistency. And teachers do not need to be beholden to what school board is up there at any given moment, and then everybody just gets wiped their job.
As long as the curriculum is not political.
Well, so you focus on the wrong thing, because you could, as a school board, you could sit there and you could vet curriculum. You could pick the best one that you really want, and you could spend all this time and energy, and it's all a distraction, because in the end, and we found this out right now in Shasta County, supplemental materials are, most teachers right now are working 100% supplemental materials.
What does that mean?
So basically, I go by the state standards, and I can teach those state standards, but I can use whatever I want. I have the autonomy to do that. Now, your school boards and these school boards that we're taking over, we are going to address that topic, which is that supplemental material. Your school board is spending a whole bunch of money on curriculum that is, frankly, garbage anyways, right, and teachers don't like it.
They don't use.
We're kind of saying the same thing in a different way.
Well, you know, it's really, really, really important how you approach this situation, because if a school board spends a lot of time adopting curriculum, this official process, and not looking at what is the official curriculum, here's a perfect example. Just recently, we had to have a walkthrough, a Williams Act walkthrough, which to make sure that we had all of our curriculum on campus. I had a science curriculum and a history curriculum I had absolutely no idea existed. I'd been working there for 5 years. So, and that was official and adopted.
So, maybe the wrong word is not curriculum, but what's being taught to the children in
right,
the classroom.
And this is why I feel like it's so great, because...
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.